genetically manipulated on many occasions, and we've been genetically programmed to have a need to worship, and a need to seek some or someone to follow, a leader. As our consciousness expands, we are breaking through that genetic programming. And our consciousness is breaking through that genetic programming, and we're defeating it. And that's something that you know, they worked really hard to program into us. They wanted us to look up to them, look to them to come save us, to be our saviors, and this and that, and we and to dumb us down about our powers to have the ability to manipulate and change our realities ourselves if we just come together.
Right.
And they do not, they're successfully keeping us from coming together over just petty things like the color of our skin. You know, that's just so stupid. I mean, it's the color of the upholstery of our skin. It's like, that's, how stupid can that be? I mean, that's like, you could have five couches sitting in the living room, and each one has a different colored upholstery, but they're all the same couch, you know? And people are sitting around arguing over, which is superior. I mean, they've managed to segment us and divide us into ideology, racism, and all this. And it's all purposely done to keep us from coming together and realize our true potential and our joint reality, joint consciousness. And this has been done for a long time. I posted a video about our scientists, how way back in the 19th century, they were realizing that when they were observing their experiments, they realized that the individuals that were observing the experiments were having were affecting the outcome of the experiment just by observing them with their consciousness. And depending on the perception or the how the person would think the outcome of the experiment would be, that would affect the outcome of the experiment. And you would think that the experiment should be the same every time, the outcome. And this led smarter and smarter people to start understanding about the consciousness, how it affects time, space, and all vibratory matter, energy, and thought. And from there, science diverged into what we have now is mainstream science, which is a very dumbed-down science and somewhat of a religion unto itself.
Yes.
And then we have the black ops science, which I got a good baptism into, which is quite a bit different and is based on totally different principles and a whole different math, different type of math system. And I said in the forum that if math is the universal language, then our scientists in the mainstream don't speak the language.
No, they're actually prohibited from speaking that language.
So. Yeah, they don't speak the right language because they're, there's been all kinds of flaws found in even Einstein's equations, his theory of relativity. There was a couple equations, they found you just needed to flip over you know, and that kind of thing, you know, he made some mistakes. Mm-hmm. And then some new mathematics were born, and I'm no math person, but I saw people writing out math on boards that were, it might as well have been hieroglyphics.
Right.
There were very few numbers involved.
Huh. Yeah, that's another subject actually for another time, as different languages, because I'm actually studying a lot of that right now too, where but we could talk about that at another time. And I'm just, you know, I'm listening, and it's an interesting phenomenon. It's almost like I'm hearing your words before you say them. And that's just an indicator for me that there's a field of intelligence that's available to us, and it's speaking to us all the time.
We have a joint consciousness.
Yeah,
joint
exactly,
consciousness.
Exactly. And yet,
we're able to tap into it.
Uh-huh. Exactly. And that is our, you know, those are our, I will say they're our inherited abilities. They're in all of us. And more people are waking up now and expressing that, or I say more beings are being activated. And so what I'd like to do is get into a little bit of what you've been, to turn on the other side of the consciousness table, as it were, because here you're also talking about the secret space program. You mentioned the Dark Fleet earlier. How does all that tie in? And what are, in your opinion right now, the most important things for us as individual and group consciousness to become aware of, so that we can do this experiment and we can start to change it? Because it is true that our consciousness is actually moving into the realities now and changing them. And I know that's where a lot of people that listen to you and write and ask you questions, they're asking about the AI agenda. We're talking about the black money magic cabal. There's a lot of things I've just written down some notes about, but just putting out a broad-based question to you, or how do you see this right now? What's happening out there in the Galactic Federation and the galactic politics and all of these races? How does that fit into what you just expressed?
Okay, yeah, that's just a small question.
Oh, I know. You know, I only know how to ask small questions. No, I know. You do the best. I mean, obviously, we're talking of something so vast that our human mind is still probably just on the edges of understanding. So,
okay. Yeah, that one I can answer in chunks and stages.
Okay.
So, yeah, people often ask me, you know, they're like, okay, I see all this information. What am I supposed to do about it? What can I do? Mm-hmm. People feel so small, or, you know, what am I supposed to do about it? You know, and we've all seen these reports of, you know, there was, I wish I could find it. There was this one study of a very small, maybe like 1,700 people that did it all at the same time, did prayers and meditation the same time every day for a period of time, and they brought down the overall terrorism and crime on the planet by like 73%.
I've read that study. Actually, Greg Braden speaks about it, if you want to look it up later. And actually, people are monitoring right now the vibration of the planet with these groups doing meditation. So they're making a science out of it, too. They're actually doing scientific studies.
Okay.
So I can post something when we post this. I'll post something with some information links, okay?
Yeah, and it's actually somewhere in that huge book of David's Source Field Investigation.
Right.
It's somewhere in that book mentioned. But it's very... very, 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 very true.
Mm-hmm.
And you can become a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Each of you, you sitting right there, looking at the computer screen right now, can make a choice. You can decide, I am going to spend, I'll start 10 minutes a day and work my way up 30 minutes a day. And, you know, try to get to maybe an hour or 2 hours a day
mm-hmm.
of just doing whatever type of meditation, of whatever religion I am, prayer, of pure, just being pure in that moment of prayer, of meditation, but thinking, meditating, praying for a positive timeline, outcome for humanity, mm-hmm. and thinking for the end of corruption, and thinking for the end of suffering, and focusing, I should say, instead of thinking, mm-hmm. focusing on the end of suffering, pain, and subjugation of all of humanity. If each and every one that listens to this, and you get another person to do that, and we get groups that start doing that, mm-hmm. that is going to have a measurable effect.
Sure.
And that, there's no need to pick up arms and, you know, rush the gates of the nearest establishment. This is going to have more of an effect than that. Mm-hmm. And this is what you can do.
Right. And the one thing that I add to that is speak your truth and speak it clearly. Don't be intimidated by it. Inform yourself. Turn off television sets. You know, this is all part of it, because we don't have an expanded consciousness by turning a blind eye to what the reality is being practiced on our planet. So I see it as a two-edged activity in a way, that one of the deep contemplation of our real reality, our real nature, which is actually peace-loving, creative beings, and how we affect our planet, and how, what you brilliantly spoke of in the beginning of our speaking here, is how we are the final piece on creating the reality that we're living in is us. And so pulling off our coats, taking down our false ego identities and the crises that are around us, and rewriting them. And that is within our range of doing.
And we are the tool of the 0.001%.
Mm-hmm.
We are the tool of our own destruction and our own captivity.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're using our own power of, the power of our own consciousness and the power of our own broad spectrum of emotions. They're using all of those gifts as tools to subjugate us, mm-hmm. tools against us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we need to step outside and reclaim those gifts and use them as a shield and a sword, in a nonviolent way, but in a way of truth and love, and as a way to be truly service to others,
mm-hmm.
and step outside of the system that we're living in, this Babylonian money magic system, to where all we care about is working, paying off debts, keeping up with the Joneses, having that nice car, having that 60-inch TV, you know, watching shows about people that have all that stuff and wanting to be like them. That is all a huge trap.
Mm-hmm.
And you step outside of that trap and do what I'm talking about, and you become part of the solution instead of one of the victims.
Right. Or a pawn in the game. I mean, or... as so many things, and maybe we can sort of segue into that right now, where we've been exploring, and a lot of information says that many of these superiorly advanced civilizations that have a presence on our planet right now see us as an experiment, the creator, supposed creator God, where their experiment, or where we can actually speak of those that have come here to harvest us. All of those agendas, how do we actually see them and get free of them? And I know that's where you have a lot of information on that. And I do get very intrigued by what's the shadow government or the secret space program, and all of these things that are operating just below our consciousness.
Yeah. And let me kind of break some of that down.
Okay.
Now, we have, there is what we can call the shadow government, or the Five Eyes, the apparatus that is all about keeping control of everything going on down here on Earth, the keeping us, all the different nations in line, the individuals in line, keeping tabs on us, making sure that the financial system is locked down and everyone follows the Babylonian money magic system, money slave system, that keeps them occupied with that system. But above that are these multiple secret Earth governments. Mm-hmm. And these are more of like your Hydra kind of things. And the Cabal is just like one tentacle of these secret Earth governments. Okay. They're more of the Earth part. These secret Earth governments are extremely powerful, and they have their own secret space programs. Or, for instance, one group is entirely, well, and there's most likely two of these, are what we're referring to as interplanetary corporate conglomerates.
Okay.
And these would be like all these different defense contracting companies that compete with each other, but people that retire from boards will retire and then go on to this board that is like a super company board that manages this interplanetary super conglomerate,
mm-hmm.
which is its own breakaway civilization. And they own quite a many of these off-world colonies, industrial complexes, mining facilities,
mm-hmm.
Most of the materials that they get for building the different things they build are mined completely off-planet.
Uh-huh.
So they're not sucking a whole lot of money off of the Earth to go into a lot of these programs. They're the people that are working on in or living in these colonies are pretty much slaves.
Mm-hmm.
They've been promised, hey, you and your family sign these papers. Y'all are going to be shipped to this. And they're shown videos of like these beautiful science fiction kind of things you'll see in the movies. This is what you're going to be living like. You're going to be living like the Jetsons.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be, with your skills, you'll be building this part of a spacecraft or this part of a replicator type thing or this part of something else. There's so many things they build.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be on this colony, on this planet or moon or this location. And so they get all these promises. And then so they get their whole family. They're shipped there, and then the reality sets in.
Mm-hmm.
They land in pretty much a totalitarian environment where everyone's walking around pale, dreary, unhappy. They're escorted at gunpoint to like an 8x10, 8x8 living quarters for them and their entire family, and then they're given rosters for what them and their entire family will do, and they live there for the rest of their lives. They have arranged marriages for their kids as they grow up. It's not good.
No.
So they're not paid money. You know, they're given a place to, you know, live and food, and they work. And it's horrible. And these people do the labor, and these people mine asteroids and asteroid belts. They mine materials on different planets, and the raw materials are taken to other outposts and facilities where they are turned into usable materials and manufactured, and very little money actually goes into building these different things. So I see a lot of times people talking about how many trillions of dollars are going into certain parts of the space program, uh-huh. and a lot of this is just materials that are mined and retrieved off-world and being built by slave labor. So,
can I ask a question? Because I don't have it clear. Is this information that you've been given by insiders or remote viewing or your own experiences?
My own experiences, when the research vessel, we would sometimes, the scientists would be needed to be brought to some of these colonies. They were different than any of the other outposts or colonies that we went to. Mm-hmm. When we arrived, as soon as we arrived, there were 4 to 6 armed guards. They escorted us directly to the point where the technicians were to do their work. And there was no staying overnight. There were never any invitations to tour the facility. We were told not to speak to anyone and then escorted straight back. Mm-hmm. And then, this was information I was told about the environment of the corporate colonies.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told that the corporate colonies, the 13 original, they had 13 original colonies and outposts. They wanted to make sure that there was never a revolution or a situation that happened like in the creation of the United States.
Hmm.
So it was, from the very beginning, it was a totalitarian, locked down, very oppressive situation.
Okay. Seems to be a repetition in the number 13 important. My other question is, who's doing this? I mean, we were talking about an industrial corporation or complex. And why are they using humans for labor when they probably could be using automated?
They also had clones there.
Okay. Right.
But these were people that were extreme. They had brought in, a lot of them had been there from like 60s, 70s, 80s.
Okay.
Had been brought in and had been there a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And their numbers had grown quite a bit just from the population growth.
Mm-hmm.
And we had seen obvious clones, people that looked exactly the same, carrying like not really boxes, but crate kind of boxes around.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I don't think there's that many quadruplets or whatever you call them.
Right.
You know. But they were obviously, you know, clones. But I think that the human labor, they were easier to control, train using the methods of the quick neurological training, where you set someone in front of those curved screens, give them an injection, and show them a video that's real quick, a whole bunch of information,
mm-hmm.
overlaid, going real quick, and it goes into your brain at a very high rate. I've had it done to me, it gives you a headache, makes you nauseous, but you take in an incredible amount of information.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'm sure this was used quite a bit on these people.
Okay.
To train them, and probably also to train the clones or whatever.
Right.
That at that point, that, you know, that's what these people were doing.
Okay.
Why they weren't using robots, I don't know, but a lot of it could go back to a lot of the their probably fears or being careful of AIs or infiltration of different AI kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, it just comes to my mind as you're speaking that there's certain things that the human body type can do that other types of bodies can't. So, you know, it would make sense that they would actually.
And humans are very, very adaptable, very good engineers. That there's a lot of one of the things that the actual Solar Warden is a older secret space program.
Mm-hmm.
They're and kind of a one of the more aging groups out there, technology-wise. They were put out there to pretty much police the solar system for incoming, outgoing visitors. There are literally thousands of different groups that are coming in. We're kind of along a kind of like Silk Road, Galactic Silk Road of travelers.
Mm-hmm.
And human beings are highly sought after for many, many different reasons. We're a commodity. And the group that I was talking about, and this is going to sound strange, but human beings have become very well known for our engineering and production of advanced technology.
Mm-hmm.
And this corporate group doesn't only produce technology and products for the secret space programs, but they also produce it for off-world groups.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I can follow that, and it's fascinating. And so these groups, and then one question was, are these corporate groups, whatever you want to call them, the just call them power brokers for the sake of a word, are they human? Are they extraterrestrial? Are they demon?
They're human.
I'm breaking up?
Yeah, you're breaking up, but yeah, they're human.
Okay, they're human. So they're human, Earth-based.
Yes.
It's a just call it a secret space program that is farming and getting resources from off-world, and they're using humans to part of their deal is to use a human to do that.
They're a very opportunistic group.
Mm-hmm.
They keep and save a lot of the most advanced toys for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So they have most of the most advanced toys.
Mm-hmm. Okay, where do you have an idea of who they are? I mean, we talk about, you know, obviously the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and the, you know, the Soros of the world, you know, the big money people that are the faces out there. They're all pretty well known. What's behind that?
Those are all the people down here on the, okay, there's a, right now there is what is referred to as a shadow civil war going on. And that's going on amongst some of the secret space program. Some of what we call the white hats in the secret space program and their allied off-world groups that are in league with them think that it is high time that the technologies that have to do with harmonic healing of the human body, free energy, technologies that will do away, help cleanse the earth of certain pollution and damage that's been done,
mm-hmm.
be released to humanity. The issue is that once this is done, it will nullify and do away with any need for a financial system. There will be no need for the Babylonian money magic slave system. That's a big problem for the, that's what's going on above, and then below we have a major war going on over the global financial system between the BRICS groups, the Western cabal, and some other groups, and the different dragon groups, fringe groups that are all fighting over control of a different variations of a global financial system, which will be based on a debt system, which is just going to be another mask of a Babylonian debt slave system. And what it all comes down to is what happens with this shadow civil war, and what happens with this extreme, and they know that there's an extreme awakening happening on the planet among people. Many of them have openly been talking about it, about humanity's awakening at an alarming rate. A lot of them think that we're awakening too late, but it's not. As we're awakening, many of us are wondering, what do we do with this awakening? And that goes back to what we were talking about earlier, about start focusing your intent, focusing your consciousness on a joint changed reality to where these negative forces have no place in this new reality that we're focusing on.
Well, let's just break for a second here. There's some questions I want to ask you regarding your own visions, because what I'm talking about is imagery and visionary qualities that we have. But before we get into that, because that may be the question for the end of this particular part, of course, anything you want to speak of too, please bring it up. The one thing that we're, you know, we're always been looking at, all of us that are doing this work, is the artificial intelligence. And I've had my own run-ins with them. I've had my own understandings of it. It's as varied as there are conscious levels. I know you have a lot of experience, and you've been trained to be looking for those. They come in any manner of things. I mean, we could talk about the bots. We could talk about the scuttlers that come through computers. We can talk about embedded thoughts. We can talk about, you know, constructed paradigms or constructed holographs that people fall into. I mean, there's a huge, huge thing, but in general, we've also are talking about, I guess, a lot of the chemtrailing and the nanotechnologies and the co-opting of the human body so that these artificial intelligences can run us. All of that comes under that category. And I think it's important to address it from your perspective, the dangers, and also how to recognize it. And then I'll have a little, another little question along that line.
Okay. I have absolutely no information or knowledge about chemtrails other than I have seen them myself. and what I've read online. I've seen all different types of ideas put forth about them. So I have nothing to offer there that would be other than speculation. I want to stay away from speculation. the AI thing was has really been focused on a lot from my last talk. It It was something that was clearly a very, it was something that was very concerning to the off-world groups and to the various programs. You were always screened. You would go through questioning to, you know, ask if you... I don't remember all the different questions. They would ask you questions. Some of them would be innocuous questions that had nothing to do with it, and some of them would be keyed-in questions. Mm-hmm. But, you know, things like, have you seen shadows in the sight of your vision peripherally? That could or could not have had something to do directly with the AIs. It may have been one of the tests or ambiguous questions. Mm-hmm. But there was a list of questions that they would always ask you. But one of them was, have you seen, you know, the spider kind of things? If you see the spider kinds of things, that isn't them trying to infect you. That means you are infected. Mm. You have been infected. So they would ask you all these different things. When are you often, even though you're wearing rubber shoes or in an electrostatic on an ESD floor,